2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Joining us now, he is the head coach for the University of Utah men's basketball team. What a win last night for Craig Smith and company as the Utes get it done, knocking off the Wildcats. Coach, how the heck are you?
Hey, Coach.
Well, hey, guys, how we doing? Thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure. I'm doing fantastic. As you can imagine, my voice isn't doing so hot. But it was a fun night in the Hudson last night. So it was a great win against a very good program and a great team.
Do we need to update the supply of the Magic Voice Spray?
You know, I just found the Magic Voice Spray in my backpack, dug kind of buried way underneath there. So I got one shot in, but I need to use a few more. That's one of the best pieces of advice, mentorship that I've ever had in my life. Scotty G shared with me, what's it called, Scotty? I know it's in the white bottle with the kind of pink and yellow.
Yeah, like kind of easy spray or something like that. It's for like singers use it when they're, you know, performing. And my wife got it for me once when I was having some issues, and it's been awesome. And then your voice went out when you're at Utah State, so I let you borrow a bottle of it, and it's been off the races ever since. You need an NIL deal on that stuff.
Some people call it grandpa's cough medicine. But
I've heard a few definitions of grandpa's cough medicine. but yeah, that was amazing mentorship. And I've certainly, the last thing I've ever been accused of is being a singer or an actor or a model or anything of the sort. So I just yell and just kind of whatever comes out, comes out.
Well, Coach, I wanted to start just kind of leading up to this game against Arizona. You have a really nice homestand, the opportunity to play a few games there in the house, and you know you've got number four Arizona on the horizon. What was it like just leading up to that game, knowing you're going to be taking on the number four Arizona Wildcat?
Well, first of all, it's an incredible opportunity. You know, how often? It doesn't happen very often. You want to have it. Like I said in the pregame and to the media, like, we need to have more of these games, right, where our league has ranked opponents, top 10 opponents, top 5 opponents, and try to get our conference back, you know, to that level. And it's not often that you get an opportunity to play the number 4 ranked team in the country, and they had just come off, you know, 8 days prior. They hadn't played for 8 days, but 8 days prior they won 3 games in 3 days at the Maui Invitational. And you watch them on film, and it's like, oh, boy, because they're, like, number one and number two in the country in about every offensive category. And so, I mean, how about this stat line? Like, if you said one individual player shot 62% from the field and 42% from the three, you would say, like, wow, those are really good numbers. And their entire team was shooting that. And that's really difficult to do. On the flip side, we've been defending at an elite level. I think we were number 2 or number 3 in the country in effective field goal percentage defense, which is kind of a hybrid of taking away threes, right, making teams make tough baskets. And so it was really kind of a, you know, their strength against our strength, and we held them to 35%, 4 for 28 from the three. But Hans, the lead up to the game, you know, we played 2 games in Florida. We beat Georgia Tech. where we jumped up by 19 early, then we got behind, and we found a way to win. I thought we learned something that night. And then we played Mississippi State, who's going to make – I'd be shocked if they don't make the NCAA tournament. They are elite defensively. And we kind of got a little scoring drought there late where we couldn't make a shot, took a couple bad ones. But I thought we really grew up and learned a lot about ourselves in that trip, and then really took care of business against St. Thomas. So I was excited. Our guys were super excited. Conference opener, there's always a different level of intensity and enthusiasm in the gym. And so we knew it would be a measuring stick, and I think we found out a lot about our team.
The thing that really jumped out to me watching that game was, and I knew, you know, so I was calling the Utah State game last night, so I reviewed it this morning and went back and watched the game. So I knew what happened and knew the final score, but, you know, you have the big lead in the first half, and then Arizona comes right back, and they cut it to single digits, and then you push it back to double digits, and then they make their next big run, and you're able to push it back out to double digits. And to me, what's really impressive is not that you were able to get that first half lead, but you knew Arizona tried to lock in and come back on you, and you withstood two big haymakers and still found a way to get that W.
We did. I mean, obviously, you know, it was an interesting game because we got off to such a great start, like you said. But I felt like, you know, the first, like, 14 minutes of the first half, I think we were up 4-6 most of that time. But I felt like we should have been up more. I just felt like we let some opportunities slip away. And, you know, that's hard to – those when you're playing a team like that, you feel like you got to take advantage of those situations. And then we really finished the first half strong to go up 17 at halftime. But listen, when you're playing those guys are the defending champs. They have championship DNA, a championship pedigree. There's a lot of dudes on that roster that understand winning, and they don't have to just talk the talk. They've walked the walk, right? And so, and we got some guys that haven't been down that road yet. So we're learning, we're growing, right? And depending on our culture, and you got to find your way through those sorts of games. And we knew they were going to come out strong, and they did. In that second half, and we kind of survived the first barrage, and then they had another one where they cut it to 6 about midway through the second half and made some big play. I mean, Brandon Carlson made some monster shots for us, and it was really a steadying force, and Wooster was outstanding, almost had a triple-double, but quite frankly, I don't know that there was anybody that played poorly. Did a great job on the glass, and then we extended it back up to 18, and then they kind of made one more kind of mini run where they had a chance to cut it to 6 with about 3 minutes to go, and we weathered the storm and were able to close it out. And so, you know, you've heard me say this many times, Scotty. Coaches got to coach and put guys in the best position and develop a culture, and there's a lot of things that go into that. But at the end of the day, those guys are out there making the plays, right? I mean, Kava is the guy out there blocking shots. BC is the guy drilling a 3. Marco Anthony is the guy getting an offensive rebound. Like, making our free throw, all, et cetera, et cetera. Just making winning plays. They got to go do it and perform. And it's great for our program at an early stage to be able to get a win like that. I think it's been since 2002, since the Utes have beat a top 5 team in the country. And, I mean, if you think about it, that's all the way back when Burgess was playing. I think it was the year after Burgess got done when we beat University of Alabama. So it's been a minute. Hopefully we can build on this thing and keep gaining some momentum.
When you hold a team to 25 of 71 to the field and 4 of 28 will go 14% from 3, you mentioned some of those guys, their defensive effort, Mats and Anthony and Worcester, and what they're doing just to really shut down on the outside, try to really contest these shots. How much of it is Arizona being off on a shooting night, Coach, and how much of it is your guys getting out to the perimeter and really contesting to hold them to 14% from 3?
Well, I think it can be, you know, in basketball, some nights you just don't make shots. I mean, we kind of went through that against Mississippi State where we missed some wide open clean shots. And then I thought we kind of forced a couple. But I think part of why we missed shots that night is a credit to Mississippi State because they're so big, long, and athletic, and they get you off your spots. So you just feel a little rushed, right? Then again, St. Thomas, we go 10 for 16 from the 3 just because, I mean, just the speed of the game wasn't nearly the same. And so I'd like to think, you know, they did miss some clean looks. But, I mean, that's basketball. I like to think we had something to do with that. right, of taking away guys' strengths. You know, their point guard, who's a heck of a player, and Krista, who had an unbelievable tournament in Maui, you know, Raleigh Wooster not only almost had a triple-double, he guarded him all night and really made life difficult on him. And I thought we took him off his spots where he really likes to score and made him take some tougher ones that, you know, aren't necessarily up his alley. But he's such a good player. But we were going to key on him, right? Courtney Ramey coming into the game was 10 for 16 from the three, and Marco guarded him all night. He kind of made a couple late on their last charge. But, you know, part of it is, you know, when you play a team that's so balanced, and I always like to compare teams to football, but, like, you got to just kind of pick your poison. Like, how are we going to try to make them beat us, right? And if they start beating us, then you adjust. And fortunately for us, we were able to not let them get going in transition. They are elite in transition. They didn't have one transition basket in the first half. I thought that was big for us to get up 17. And then you got to somehow just neutralize them in the paint, which our big guys did. We're a lot bigger and a lot more physical than we were a year ago. We still have room to grow in that area, but we'll keep climbing. And unfortunately for us, we were able to chase them off the three and just make life a little bit more difficult than they wanted it.
So I'm gonna stat nerd on you a little bit here, and you remember when I did that from time to time. But not only are you number two in the country in defensive effective field goal percentage, you're number six in holding teams to 24% from beyond the 3-point line in the country. You're number six in 2-point percentage, only giving up 40% from two. And the one number that I think is really interesting, and I think it goes back to that perimeter defense. Teams are against you using nearly 19 seconds of possession time. That's ranked 340th in the country in making teams slow down. And you offensively are actually a pretty up-tempo team, at least number-wise and average possession length. But you're forcing teams to use a lot of time on their offensive possessions. Does that go back to that perimeter defense and what you've been able to do to really stymie teams defensively?
Well, I think it takes everybody. You know, certainly it's easy to think about the guards and when you're taking away threes, because typically those are the guys that are taking those shots. But we've certainly upgraded our athleticism and our physicality and our rim protection. So when you have some rim protection, it allows you to be a little bit more aggressive, right, and get out and do some things. And so Carlson's protecting the rim at a level he's never done in his 4 years. Our true freshman, Kay Vakeda, is, I mean, he's a freakazoid athlete, and he is as twitchy as it gets. And he just has great feel that way. And so, and then we're bigger at the four spot than we were a year ago. So we're able to protect the paint more. Maybe we can take a few more chances, right, and take some things away. We're trying to be a little more aggressive out on the perimeter, and it's paying off. So, and then, you know, you said the offensive end, I know it become a little bit like cachet or like a little bit cliche-ish. Like, we want to bring the running Utes back to running Utes basketball. And we do. And we're really trying to play through the pass like our teams always have. We weren't nearly as good as that last year, although we were still in the top 25% of the country. So we might not be the most athletic team, but we do have really skilled guys that can put pressure in a lot of different ways. And in order to be a good running team, your big's got to be able to run. And we do have very mobile, athletic big guys that can run the floor at a high level. So we can look over the top for those big guys. Stefanovic had an amazing pass to Carlson last night for, he got fouled, I think. But we got it because our other guards are running as well. So I think we can put a lot of pressure on our opponents that way. We still got to tighten up in that end. We have too many turnovers. When we just start running with our kind of, we can show some youthful exuberance. And I'm not sure our heads are always attached with some of the decisions we make in transition. But last night was much better. And I think you're just going to see this team just keep growing together as we garnish, stability, continuity. We've had so many injuries. It's just crazy. And finally, for the last 2 weeks, we've had everybody healthy and able to practice and compete. And I think that's helped us in a great way.
So it's got to be exciting, too, with those guys coming in, Coach. I was just looking at this. They had just beat San Diego State 87-70, and San Diego State was a top 25 team. They had beat Creighton 81-79 in a hard-fought game. Those are a couple of really good wins. Creighton ranked number 10 before Arizona comes in and you guys take care of business. When you went back and you were looking at those games preparing for this, did you think in your mind, oh, man, we've got a monumental task? Like, how do you prepare your team mentally to take on a team that has just knocked off a couple top 25s, has the talent they have? Is it high, like big voice motivation, or is it getting into their mind? How do you get a team ready to take on a team of that caliber?
Yeah, you know, every team is a little bit different. So some teams you got to try to pump in confidence. Some teams are, you know, the more, and we're a young team that hasn't really been in this spot. So we didn't, like, do all these rah-rah speeches, or we just talked to them, like, hey, this is what they are. Now, certainly it was a little bit daunting, not because they're ranked number 4 in the country. You just watch those three films, and that was a loaded field in Maui, and they just, every guy on their team can score and score at a high level. And so, I mean, they had five guys that averaged double digits. They were averaging 97.5 points a game, and the sixth guy was 0.2 points away from averaging double digits. So we knew we had a great task, and obviously there's always a way to win, and you just got to find a way to win. And we really tried to hone in on, like, if everything's important, nothing's important. So we really tried to hone in on three or four things. Let's be really, really good at this, and let's try to make them beat us with some of these other things. And then if they start hurting us, we'll adjust. And great teams can hurt you from a lot of different ways, and great teams have a lot of versatility. And so, but I thought our leadership was great. You know, Brandon Carlson had just an aggressive mindset from the start of the game, and really, he hit a three right away and had a hard right-hand drive to get make a tough finish. Marco's a six-year guy. He's been on a lot of winning programs. He's had a great voice. And so we have some competitive guys, right? And that are going to play with a lot of force and show a lot of fight. And that's what I'm really proud of. I knew, I told our staff, I told my wife, like, we're going to find out something about our team. When it's still, you know, game 7, you know, you don't know if those numbers defensively are so good because maybe a couple of the opponents you played. But I knew we were going to find out. When you play a great team, I don't care what the sport is, you're always going to learn and find out so much about yourself, where you're strong, where you're not so good, who can handle the moment, who doesn't, you know, all those kind of things. And we were, I thought, able to hold on, like Scotty said, to a bunch of haymakers that they were throwing at us, and we're able to find a way to win, kind of running away there late. So it was, what a night. I know it's a night we'll remember. And now, you know, the beauty of sports is you got to go earn it every day and every night. And you can't rest on your laurels, and we're going to have a tough road trip going up to Pullman. It's always tough going out there. So I can't wait to see what we're made out of on Sunday afternoon.
Well, Coach, I'm not going to lie. Whenever I'm watching a game this year or listening to a game and I hear announcers say Kata, it kind of throws me for a loop a little bit. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that one.
It's kind of crazy when he signed. I thought the same thing. I was like, I don't know, I kind of like that Kata formula. It's been pretty good. Kata was young, and they're different players. Kata Kata that's here. Obviously, Namish Kata is a tremendous player and in the NBA now. But Kata, what a tremendous person, works his butt off, and his best days are coming.
Well, Coach, I'm fired up for you. Couldn't be more excited for the big W. Keep it rolling, and let's do this again soon.
Great stuff, Coach.
All right. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. Go Utes. Good luck to the football team today in the bowl championship against USC.
Happen. Absolutely. There you go, Craig Smith. His team got a really impressive upset victory over Arizona last night. We're live here at Mountland Supply. Love for you to come by 2808 South Main Street. We've got Alema Harrington. We've got Ron McBride. We got free food. Come by, take advantage of it. We'll continue on the show next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.